is ringing. Mine, mine.
Whose phone is ringing?
Mine, it's mine.
Whose phone is ringing?
Mine, mine. My phone, 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 phone. My phone, 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 phone.
Whose phone is ringing?
This week, on another mediocre podcast, you probably recognize that ringtone. It was Sal's ringtone during a punishment on the very popular True TV series, Impractical Jokers. This week, my guest is Casey Jost. He's a producer on the show, and the voice you're hearing on that ringtone. He's also done a lot of other stuff. He's a musician, a comedian. We talk about a lot of things, and he's a really great guest, a really funny guy. So enjoy this week's episode. Welcome once again to another episode of Another Mediocre Podcast. I'm your host, Luke Capetta, and it's a mediocre podcast because I don't like to make things too hard for myself, and I like to make things, the bar, easy to jump over. My guest today is not mediocre at all. He's an actor, comedian, musician, and writer, the former writer for Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, currently a producer for True TV's hit TV show and one of my favorites, Impractical Jokers, and the voice behind the most obnoxiously awesome ringtone ever. Representing the Shaolin, and I wore my Wu-Tang shirt, Casey Jost.
Yo, this is great. This idea of a podcast is my style. I love a mediocre. I love just recording something and putting it out. I love it.
Yeah, I don't even really edit it, man, like too much. Like, I'll just trim off a little bit in the beginning, but
yeah, I think it's important. Yeah, it's important to just like, you know, put stuff out there. So I think, you know, don't, you know, a lot of times people like overthink what they have to do. But I love it. This is real, raw.
It's just because I'm lazy, but that's.
Yeah. But when you get to say that, it's like, you know, when you can call it like artistic and then it's not lazy. Yeah, minimalist. Very nice. Thank you for having me.
Hey, man, thank you for coming on. I know like you got like a lot of stuff going on. And obviously, I'm sure most people know you from the Jokers.
Yeah, I think at this point, yeah, I don't know how to put it in terms outside of like, let's say like a Twitter followers or something. I bet you like the majority of people there probably just know me through Impractical Jokers. It's definitely like of the things I've done, I've probably had the most eyeballs from that. And I've been working there for so long that I think it's kind of like at this point, like synonymous with my career. I feel like I hope to do other things, but, at this point it's really defined kind of my track.
And so how long were you with the show from the beginning?
Yes. Yeah. So the pilot that they made, I actually like just made some like, you know, music for it, like almost like an entrance or like a, you know, the opening credits music that they never used for the show, but for the pilot that they had pitched or that they had made with True TV, it was in there. It was in there up until, the show actually like I would say like a couple weeks before the show aired, they were like, well, let's switch out the music to something that like they have more license over or that they have more like, you know, cause like it was just a song I had made, but then the one that they have now, they could like cut it up and use different parts of it, you know, throughout the, so that's kind of why they went with that, song. No feelings hurt. But I, at that point I was working on the show in other capacities.
Okay. Man, I'd love to hear that. I'd love to hear that, man. That's
yeah. We, you know, it's funny. They used it once for a special. They used it once for maybe not the cruise special. They did some sort of special episode. I forget which one it was now, but they used it at the end. It might have been for their live. They did one of their live shows. They filmed and it went on True TV. I think they used it at the end of that. I let them, you know, they had to ask for license, and I was like, "Yeah, you whatever. What's mine is yours." I tell the guys that.
Well, especially since, I mean, that's your job too, so you know.
Yeah, of course. But it's weird. I never thought I'd have a job where I had to make so much music, and I love it. Like I got like a music degree from college, but I just did that because I was a bad student, and it was just the only thing I liked, and I never thought I'd like make music, even though it's dumb ringtones and song, like, you know, songs to embarrass each other.
That's kind of the thing. Best.
But Yeah, but I feel good. I like that. I get to do that because that's the thing I've done my whole life. And so to be like a producer or whatever for a comedy show, to be like not only writing stuff but also making music is so weird. But I'm thankful.
Yeah, that's one of the best thing about the show, I think, is that I know for me at least, it's like I'm watching it and I'm like, holy shit, dude! Like I could have made this shit with my buddies, like because that's what we do, yeah. You know. Like I probably could have made it with my kids because I'm always trying to embarrass my kids. It's like one of the few pleasures I have left. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's great.
You can tell that you guys are really have a good chemistry. Even when you're on screen and stuff like that, you've done a couple of the inside jokes.
Yeah, yeah. I never thought that's another thing. Aside from like doing music, I never thought that I'd be on camera, which I never like, you know, I as much as I like this show, I'm like, I don't want the show to change too much. I like that it's these four guys. But then they asked me to do sort of like the behind the scenes stuff here and there, or the inside jokes or that insider thing. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to turn it down. But it was interesting. I never, like, the job kept being new things. It's like every year, it's like there's new fun things to do, and I get to put my stamp on it more. And I love it. It's so much fun. But yeah, never thought it would be, because I do a lot of like on camera stuff on the side, and that show is just a thing that I was like, oh, that's not going to be that show, you know. But they just became that, which is cool.
Do you find it harder to produce the show and stuff, like, as far as are you how involved are you with, like, you know, getting people?
That's not too much. You know, most of the time that stuff just comes from the location we're at. But there are times that we do like a focus group about, you know, a product, and we need to like bring people in. And how we do that is, and I don't really do that. I'm more so like trying to come up with inventions or something for that challenge. But there are people who work with the location themselves, the location itself, but then also will have like reach out on like a Craigslist kind of site and be like, hey, would you like to take a focus group about toys or about inventions? And a lot of times people just do. Occasionally we'll be like, if we're low, we'll be like, oh, you'll get paid $20 to do this, and then more people will like sign up. But we also make them go through like a screening process. We'll ask them like what their favorite TV shows are, and if anybody writes Impractical Jokers, we don't have them come.
I've seen a couple times that like in the pawn shop and stuff like that, guys catch on, and that it's got to be hard because it's a pretty well known show. I mean,
I know. I like to think like maybe 1 in 5 people recognize the guys, and then usually if they're a fan, they're pretty respectful and they just kind of mosey on. But there's enough people that we could still do the show, which is great. Yeah, it's fun.
How long you been in entertainment? You know, you were a writer for Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. That was what, like 2010 ish.
Yep, that was 2010. That was like between February and July, I think. So I was there for basically like 6 months, and that was like my first job. Before that, though, I'd been doing a lot of just stand-up and improv and sketch stuff at like bars and comedy clubs in New York. And I had been doing that since about 2007. I mean, I had done other sketch groups and stuff in college, but I graduated in 2007, you know, June. And then I just, you know, I wanted to take classes at the UCB Theater. So I was motivated to try to pursue comedy. I never thought I'd get like a writing job or, you know, work on a show. It was definitely the dream. And it took a few years, relatively not that long, but like, you know, when you're figuring out what you want to do at that age, you're like, I was also like a waiter, and I worked at a music store, and I gave like guitar lessons, and we did an after school program with kids, and then I had to quit for the parks department. So I was like working for the parks department, and I had to quit and be like, I had just moved locations to this really nice fun location, and I was like, I actually can't come into work next week. And they were like, oh, why? I'm like, I'm going to be writing for Jimmy Fallon, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. And they were like, oh, well, you don't get benefits anymore. And they're like, you don't get a health benefits. And I was like, I know, I got to figure that out. And they were like, all right, how long are you going to do that for? And I was just kind of like, I mean, I don't know. I hopefully forever. And he was like, all right, well, if it doesn't work out, you know, we'll try to make room for you, but I can't promise you anything. It was this very funny, like matter of fact, city job kind of conversation.
Does he, I mean, even like behind this, does he laugh at everything? Like,
Yeah, he was like born, like he probably came out of the womb with like his personality. You know, he's just very outgoing, and you know, he's everybody's friend. You know, he's like everybody's like younger brother. That's like his, that's his thing. But yeah, he was always, you know, his office was like right next to mine, and he would just pop in and be like, oh, somebody sent me these like sneakers, but they don't fit me. Do you want them? And I was like, yeah. Like, he was just very generous and cool.
Oh, so that means also, now that I'm thinking about it, so you got to deal with the Roots a lot.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Oh man, Roots are my favorite. I'm a big hip hop fan.
Did you watch that video?
I did.
Did you watch that? How good is that? So there's a video for people listening. There's a video where he basically raps for 10 minutes straight, maybe eight minutes straight, and. You know, they it's like on the show that like the idea is that it's like a freestyle, but I wouldn't go into it thinking that he's freestyling the whole thing, but he definitely wrote the whole thing and memorized the whole thing. He's not reading a cue card, and it's like from his head, like, and it's really impressive, and it's honestly, he's the best. He's just, if you listen to all those records, I mean, he's so good.
I think I've been telling people for a long, I think he's the best MC around for a while. Yeah.
I agree, man. He's underrated.
Him and Ghostface. I mean,
I know. I love both those guys. I mean, there's people that people always talk about, you know, Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas, you know, Tupac. But I think like there are other people that need to get into that conversation now, especially since, like, I mean, Biggie never had a bad verse. He's never had a bad verse. But he also there's a limited number of verses at this point, and. And like, you know, I think it's, I think he's like a legendary. It's like sacrilege to ever be like, oh, he, you know, to take him out of the conversation. But I just think there's got to be more room for like Black Thought, like on all the records, he's always got something good. Ghostface too. But yeah, I don't know. It's amazing.
Did you listen to the new Jay-Z? Did you like it? I used to be a big Jay-Z guy, but I.
Yeah, I actually really like 444. I really like it. Yeah, I think that it's my favorite Jay-Z album in a long time. You know, like mm-hmm. I love Watch the Throne. That's like almost like my favorite work that really? He's done. Him and Kanye. I was always a big like Reasonable Doubt fan, and obviously like the Black album. But I think that I like that he tried something different. I like that he was like, let me try to like do this kind of low key thing. And it's different than what he's done, but it's very different than what's out there. And I think the beats are great. I think it's a really fun album. It's definitely like amazing. A chill. Yeah, yeah. It's definitely not like pump you up.
I was wondering how like I'm not really a musician, just a connoisseur. I was wondering how like a musician feels about 444. Cause I liked it, but I miss my old Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have teenagers. They're always coming around with this stupid shit that they think is hip hop, right. And I'm stuck in the '90s. I don't want to listen to anything from them. I just started listening to Logic because I just was hearing his stuff on the radio all the time, and I thought he sucked, and he really doesn't.
I'm similar. I skew similarly. Like I really the '90s stuff is my favorite, and that's why you know I like J. Cole. I think he's similar, and I obviously Kendrick is amazing, but it's probably because they remind me of my favorites in the '90s.
Right.
But also, you know, like I don't know. I think there's always a part of me that likes new stuff, even if it's like mumble rap or if it's just one song by. You know, designer or something. I wouldn't testify about and tell everyone to check it out, but I definitely enjoy it from a perspective of like, you know, I could just tell that it's a kind of like I like a one hit wonder once in a while. And I was thinking about that. You know, remember that Ski Low song? I wish.
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah.
It's such a good song. And it's like, It's probably like, I mean, I haven't really listened to much more Ski Low. I think I tried to put on the album recently and I was like, yeah, I can't sit through all this, but it's good. And I was like, there's room for that. There's room for like, well, these one hit wonders that are just having like one song and it doesn't, and it, you know, it's back then I bet people are like, what is this one? What this, I wish I was a little bit taller song. Then I think that's always going to happen.
That was a great song. Ahmad is another one back in the day. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't.
Dude, back in the day when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. You don't remember that song?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I do remember that. I didn't know that was Ahmad. Oh, I can't remember. Yeah.
Now that everybody heard my singing chops on here.
That was good. And you said you weren't a musician. Wow.
Ah, you'd be surprised how many mediocre talents I actually have, hence the name of the podcast.
Yeah. But back to what you're saying about like the working with the Roots. I didn't get to like work with them a lot, but I'd have to like go and talk to them or ask them to like, you know, for this bit, can you make a little song for, you know, this thing is called like how he used to do a segment called like thank you notes and the guy would play piano. So like that process would be like if there was, I think there was one that called pros and cons, and that was like a little like a, you know, but it was kind of like just like a bucket list, or sorry, a joke bucket bit, we used to call it, because it would just be like, it would be the same bit every week, but we'd write new jokes for it. And so you would just like kind of like, you know, to think of it as like, let's just stock this bucket up with jokes that we could use. And so that was the kind of segment it was. Anyway, I'd have to like go to the Roots and be like, all right, the bit's called like pros and cons. Can you guys come up with like a theme song for it? So that when Jimmy goes, like, let's check out the pros and cons, they like play a song. So I would have to like talk to them and like ask these musicians to make a song about like a, you know, like a 5 second song, like some of the greatest musicians of all time. I have to be like, can you make like a 10 second sit, like, you know, song? But they were always so nice about it. And I think I learned a lot from watching them and their process.
I mean, I can't even imagine. My mom lived in Philly for a long time and worked in a hospital. And I went to visit her one day at lunch. I saw Questlove walk. He was walking across the street from me and I got like excited.
Yeah. That's cool, right? Like it's funny. Like sometimes when you see,
well, he's like, yeah, a musical genius.
Oh, he's Questlove is, I mean, you know, Black Thought is too, not to take away, but Questlove, I mean, he's like the leader of this band that has now accomplished so much. And it was such a weird thing, I think, when they took the gig. It's like the Roots are going to be like the backup band for Jimmy Fallon, but it was smart. It put them in a position now that they're like legendary, they're untouchable. They already were, but like more in a cult following. And now that they're, you know, they're at the Grammys every year in some capacity, they're curating other artists. They have their own hand in like so many different things. Mm-hmm. But then Black Thought still just brings the fire from the street. It's so cool.
Yeah, that's the best thing.
Yeah.
They never had to switch it up.
Yeah.
You know, they stayed true to what they were. It never changed, and they blew up off of that. That makes it even better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Hey, you ever find yourself, do you ever like we were just talking about with the Roots, you ever find yourself like starstruck or pinch yourself? Like you're just like, oh shit, man. Like I was just talking to Questlove about this ringtone, or you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it was funny. I was somewhere recently and, Martin Short was there.
Wow.
It was like, you know, he's been around for so long. And there were other people like at that. There was like an event I was at, like a holiday event. And there was like a bunch of people there. You know, it's funny because as much as I'm like, well, I guess you asked the story. It always feels like I'm like name dropping or something. But
fuck that, name drop. I'm going to name drop you to everybody. Everybody I know. Be like.
But, you know, it's funny that you said it because like Questlove was there and like a few other people like of that status, but like Martin Short, because of like, I guess he's just a little less accessible because he's just, you know, he's a legend that's been around for so long. You don't see him out all the time, big name. And so like, I was like, whoa, that's crazy. And, I didn't like talk to him or go over him. Cause I'm also like, I don't want to bother anyone, but if I were like next to them, I might just like, if I just ended up sitting next to them or on an elevator or something, I'd be like, oh man, I love your work. And I usually try to like leave it at that. Until, you know, hope, you know, you're always like, oh, maybe one day I'll for some reason be in a situation where I could like have a more in-depth conversation about Three Amigos with Martin Short or right. something. Right. But
Ed Grimley.
But yeah, but there's definitely, I guess, I don't know, like I think sometimes with musicians, I feel like more starstruck. Like bands and stuff. Like I think like if I were like around like Dave Grohl, I think like more than a comedian, because a comedian, like, you know so much about their personality through like their work, whereas you don't really like I know Dave Grohl from like interviews and stuff, but I don't really, you know, like someone like that, I don't really know where they stand on things.
Right.
So it's like a little bit more like, whoa, this is like kind of crazy. Like there's this guy that I've, you know, I know his music or something, but mm-hmm. I don't really know, you know, like, whereas like if I ran into, like a, you know, Kumail Nanjiani or like a stand up that where I'm like, I know what their take is on things. Like, I feel like I know them in a weird, like, it's similar with the Jokers. A lot of people feel like they really know the Jokers because they're themselves on camera and right. they're buddies. And so people will come up and be like, hey, buddy, I see you on TV. Hey, how's it going? And I think it makes them seem even more accessible than any stand-up, you know, but it's right. it's cool. So I think musicians, I would say I'd starstruck by musicians.
Musicians.
Or like Elon Musk. Yeah, Elon Musk. I feel like if I saw him, I'd be like, whoa, Elon Musk is here. Right?
Oh, my God, man. I was not expecting that. Not yeah. expecting Elon Musk. Oh, jeez. All right. Would you consider yourself more of a, like, comedian first or a musician? Hmm. Or do you have a preference?
Yeah, I guess I would want to be considered a comedian first, just because I think that's the thing that I've always been, like, you know, swinging for. Like, that's the career that if for some reason I had to pick one for like a career, I think comedy's more fun to do. I love playing music. There's just not a lot of careers in music anymore. You know, there are barely any bands in the top, you know, 20 charts, and it's just to do that so hard. Then you have to kind of be like an engineer or a song, you know, producer, or you know, work at a studio, you know, or work at a label. Like, but even those jobs are not exactly. You start the farther away you get from the thing that you love about it. Whereas with comedy, I also think like what I loved about like being in bands as a kid, or, you know, making like beats with friends, is like you're collaborating. And I think comedy, that's my favorite part, is like, you know, for the show, I get to like sit in a room with the Jokers and come up with ideas. And that's the most fun. So that version of it is what I want. And I think comedy has more opportunities to do that. And also there's always like like, you know, I don't really have that much of an ego or think about status, but the title of like comedian or just like a person in comedy, like that's fun to me, you know, because I think it's harder to sort of, it's a harder, it's weird. There are more jobs. Like there's no like, you know, there's like comedy writers. There's not like a team of songwriters. I mean, I know Drake probably has a team of songwriters, but not everyone does. No shots fired at Drake. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's going to start some beef, man.
Yeah, yeah.
End of, like, Meek Mill there.
But, yeah, so I don't know. I guess I would like to be considered more of a comedian, because I know I'll do, but the thing is, like, I'll do music forever. Like, I'll always have some sort of outlet with music. Like, I just recorded a new album, and I'm going to just put that out for fun with just, like, you know, rock songs or whatever.
Oh, but, nice.
I don't focus on it, and I don't try to push it too much, because I think, you know, I don't know. I don't try to think in terms of like what's on brand, but I think a lot of people like to keep people in a lane, and I think the lane people like me in is a comedy lane, and so to diverge too much might be distracting. You know, people are going to be like, wait, so he doesn't do comedy anymore? He just does music.
Right.
And there's some people who can, like, you know, like a Donald Glover, you know, like a Childish Gambino. He does both very well and very mm-hmm. successfully.
Right.
But
I like him more. I think he's a better comedian.
Yeah.
He's a great actor too. That Atlanta show was yeah. great. Just a talented guy.
I like him more as an actor too. That's the same thing. It's like I like him more as a comedian, and so I'm kind of guilty of keeping him in a lane. But I think his music definitely resonates with a lot of people. I like that last album, and I liked his early stuff, and I didn't really love the stuff in between. I'm just throwing shots at Drake and Childish Gambino. I feel bad.
You're trying to get on somebody's bad side, get on a diss track.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And get dissed by some famous rapper.
I hope. Yeah. But at least Elon Musk is not going to come at me. That's good.
I don't know, man. I mean, shit, it worked for cannabis.
Right.
Shit, man.
Right. It also ruined him.
Yeah, it did turn out well.
Yeah, LL Cool J destroyed him, huh?
Yeah, man, he's a
that was one of the best battles. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'd sign up to get destroyed by LL Cool J. I don't give a fuck.
It'd take
all my money to the bank and leave my family. And no, I'm just joking. for they're not going to listen this long anyway. They listen like the first few minutes and then they have enough of me.
Yeah, that makes sense. They have to listen to you all day.
Yeah, you. As much as they tune me out, you think that they wouldn't care, but whatever.
Yeah. My wife doesn't listen to my podcast too much. Occasionally, like when I'm editing it, like, and I don't have headphones on, she'll listen. But it's a lot to be like, yeah, now we talk all the time, but now listen to me in silence for an hour. Yeah.
What I didn't realize that you had a podcast. What is your podcast about?
Yeah, so it's pretty similar to yours in terms of how mediocre it is. Me and my buddy, my best friend since high school, Joe Imbrogio. He's another comedy producer on Jokers, and we were sort of a fill-in team for the What Say You podcast, which was Q and Sal's from Impractical Jokers. And then Q asked us to like fill in once in a while. And then they just kind of stopped doing the podcast. We were like, well, we're not going to keep filling in, but we're going to make our own. And so it's called the JV Squadcast. And we basically talk about like little scambones, which is like a little, like, you know, a little scam or a trick or a hack, something that's like non-threatening and not illegal. It's like the white lie equivalent of something illegal.
Okay.
Stealing
something you're not going to get sued for. That's the.
Yeah. Or arrested. Yeah. Or killed.
Arrested. Or killed. Arrested. Or killed. That's a downer too.
Yeah. But yeah. So, but we talk about that stuff, but we also veer off and just go into our own little, like lives and dynamic, which, you know, we've been friends for a long time. So there's always some fun bickering. And then also when we do get on the same page, it's about something really dumb. So that's something to look forward to.
I'm definitely going to check it out. I'm actually starting since I've been doing this podcast, I've been checking out a lot of podcasts, and there's a lot of good stuff out there. I mean, it's also helped that like radio is so freaking awful. It's like, it's like I can't listen to radio. I either got to listen to something streaming or even sports radio. I can't take it anymore. It's just, and I'm a big sports fan. So, but it just, they're just all like cookie cutter people. You know what I mean? Everybody's the same.
Yeah. Everybody has like the same opinion. It seems like everyone's saying the same stuff.
What, now you mentioned Dave Grohl. He's going to be on Saturday Night Live, right?
Tonight.
And your brother is.
You
get an update. That's Do you guys ever argue about who has like the better career?
No, I think we both know that he does, but I think there are times that he probably likes the idea of Jokers. I bet you if we could switch for a week, not to say that I could do what he could do, but I think he'd have a lot of fun working on Jokers. And but I definitely think we probably at the end of the day would both agree that the prestigious Saturday Night Live is the better gig. But you know, it's funny, my mom tells me that she's a doctor, and her patients come in and they're like, oh my god, your son's show is like so great, and her default was always like, oh, SNL, and but now it's all Jokers. Everyone's like, oh, Impractical Jokers is so great. They're like, we don't watch SNL, it's too late, but we watch Jokers every night, or like, you know, all every week. And I was always like, that's so funny that you know, the fact that they don't even watch like this institution of Saturday Night Live.
Right. But that's some gene pool. My parents were happy when like my little brother became a manager at ShopRite.
Yeah, but parents are parents. They're like, they're over it now. They get it. They're like, when we first got our jobs, they were like, cool. And now they're like, you know, they're like, what's next for you guys? They're parents, you know, they're like, when are you going to have kids? Or like, you know, what's happening with this stuff? You know, they're good parents.
Yeah. Kids, are, just so you know, man, kids are definitely, they're overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be honest with you.
I know. I mean, my wife and I go back and forth about whether we're going to have kids or not. You know, because I think we're into it, but we're also like, but what if we just didn't?
Oh, yeah. It'd be awful if you didn't. You'd be able to do whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted, and have a lot more money.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. There's a huge benefit there.
Yeah, I tell my kid, I'm like, you guys were all various levels of accident. Never say mistake.
No.
But definitely accident.
Yeah.
One was planned, but everybody else.
Yeah. I really hope they're not. I hope they're not listening, but I hope if I do have kids that they're not listening down the line.
Well, like I said, man, my kids don't listen.
I have so much evidence of me being like, I don't want kids. They're going to be like, oh, God.
I used to tell my parents that all the time and then end up with five, so.
You barely had any time in your life to not have kids.
I mean, who
think about
who
that?
Knew I'd be lucky enough to find somebody who couldn't keep their hands off of this.
That's amazing. That's so funny.
So do you go on the road with the Jokers and stuff? Do you do like the whole thing, or are you just with the TV?
I used to, you know, when they first started doing shows, I would open for them here and there. I still do occasionally when we went to Hawaii to film an episode, I was out there obviously for the show, and then they did a live show and they were like, oh, Casey, can you open? Mm-hmm. But when they hit the road, I basically have to always work at the office. So to take me away from the show, I don't think they wanted to do that. But also they have some other openers in different areas. Like if they're on the West Coast, they have this guy named JF Harris, who's super funny. And, on the East Coast, they usually either use this guy Mike Fenoya or this guy Jiggy,
right,
and both very funny guys. So I think they also like to switch it up with different personalities, and so that they're trying. So that it's like there's always a new face around to hang out with, and you know, because they're pretty good at not getting sick of each other, but it's nice to have a buffer, have other people come in that they could kind of pal around with. So I kind of do the show more and don't go out on the road as much, which is fine. Because as much as the road is like cool, I've done it enough that I'm like, I'd rather be in my bed. Yeah.
I saw them out here. I live in, I'm originally from Jersey. I don't know if you can tell by the accent, but
I can, yeah. 100%.
So I'm originally from Bergen County, New Jersey. New Jersey's too expensive to live, so I moved out here years ago. I'm in Pennsylvania now, like by that Sands Casino.
Yeah.
And I saw them out here. Actually, I got tickets originally for my 13-year-old daughter and me.
Nice.
And then my wife kind of talked to me and was like, oh, you know, maybe you shouldn't take her because I don't know how appropriate it's going to be. It was fine, though. I should have taken her, but she wasn't too happy. My buddy was happy because he went. And they had that – what was the guy? Mike
– Fenoya?
Yeah, he opened up for them. He was pretty funny.
Yeah, he's very funny.
Pretty funny dude.
Yeah, he's a really good stand-up.
Actually, somebody told me – this is funny, too. I'm just remembering this – that I have some type of relation – through marriage to Q.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, I guess I don't like my Uncle David, actually my mom's uncle, but I call him Uncle David. His wife, Terry, is his cousin or something or other. Like,
oh, cool.
That. I just, that might not even be true, but that's just what, you know.
Yeah, you got to get in the will. You got to somehow get in his will.
Yeah, I know. That's how, you know, he doesn't respond on Twitter, though. I don't know.
Yeah, just be like, I just want your comic books.
Oh, man. Yeah, I love comic books. That would be, he's probably got some good ones. He still do that other podcast with the...
Yeah, Tell Him Steve Dick, yeah.
Yeah.
At the Secret Stash. Yeah, he does that every, I think every week he goes out to Red Bank.
Yeah.
And does it, yeah, he's loyal to those buddies.
Now, one of the really funny things that you do is you read the Staten Island News.
That's right, yeah.
So for the six people that are listening, If you don't know what I'm talking about, check out Casey on YouTube, and he does these videos where he reads the Staten Island news. And you know, when you said you would come on the show, I started looking at some of your videos and stuff, and I started, and they crack me up because they sound. I have a cousin Bly who lives in Staten Island, grew up in Staten Island, his whole sounds just fucking like him, man.
Wow!
I let him hear it. He's like, "Oh, it doesn't sound anything like me," but it does. It's like the backwards hat. If you listen to this, you got to. As soon as you're done listening to this, you got to watch it because it's hilarious, man. What made you come up with that? Like, you just.
I don't know. I always like the idea of. Like a person who's like giving you the news from another news source. So like on do you watch New York One? You probably don't get it in Pennsylvania.
I used to. I used to get it when I was in Jersey. Yeah. Not no more though.
So there's a guy named Pat Kiernan on New York One who just holds up newspapers and reads them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a show where he reads the newspaper of different newspapers. And it's insane, but that makes me laugh. So I definitely wanted to do that. And then also, I just like playing that character, like playing like kind of a Staten Island character. It's just like, right. Since I grew up there and I'm really not like that. It's always a fun character for me. I could fold into at any point. I could always just do that. It was guys I went to high school with, and it's a fun, I know all the references and the specifics, and that's like something I like to get out there. The zeitgeist of Staten Island's big with both of the Jokers and Pete Davidson and Colin. And, it just feels like everybody knows Staten Island a little bit now. Or you've known a guy like that. I don't know. I think I got that hat. It's a Mets hat. I know you're a Mets fan. I could see behind you. You got Mr. Met there. But I got that hat, and it just felt like I've never had a fitted hat like that. Really, that's funny. It's true though. And I just felt right. And I just thought it would be because SI. Also, the other thing is SILive.com, which is like the Staten Island newspaper, Staten Island Advance's digital site. It's just the stories are insane. They're all so stupid.
Whatever made you think of it, man. It's just it's really entertaining. And I think, especially if you know anybody from there, you know the area and stuff. Because I still work in New York City and stuff. I'm in a construction union when I'm not doing this. Hopefully, this will take off and I'll be reading the newspaper on some TV channel or something. You know, but
yeah, that'd be great.
I work a lot and out there, and so it's just if you know the area, it's really hilarious. Yeah. It's very, very clever, man. Good work.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's resonated with a lot of people, and I love it because it's like my favorite kind of character to do, and so the fact that people like it makes me feel like I'm doing something right.
Hey. If you ask me, it's better than Weekend Update too. I gotta.
you sound like my mom's patient.
There you go. What's next like for the Jokers? Are you guys because as it gets more and more popular, it gets harder and harder to do the show. Actually, you know what I wanted to how did Joey Fatone become a Joker? He's like basically
he was a fan. He just like was a fan, and then like we found out that he was coming to set. Gore like he had asked or maybe reached out on Twitter or something and asked if he could come to set, and Q kind of arranged it, and then we got him on the show too for that same day. And
at the deli, that's the one.
Yeah,
at the deli.
Carnegie Deli.
Yep.
And he's just like. He's a similar guy. Sorry, I'm very hungover. I just yawned. He's a similar guy to the Jokers. He like grew up in. He like had family in like Bay Ridge and like Brooklyn, and has family in Staten Island. He's around the same age as them, but he like you know kind of lived in Florida too. I mean, he obviously has. He was an international celebrity, just like in the biggest boy band ever. I don't know, and I think, but like, you take away that boy band stuff, he's really just like the other guys. He's right. Just
looks like a regular guy.
Great guy, and so he got involved, and then any time that there was something where we're like, let's try to get Fatone again, he just fits in so well.
And so he hosts that. What's the? It's like the after show now.
Yeah,
you guys do. What is that called?
It's called after party.
Oh well, there you go. All right, yeah. And where do you have that usually? Because I'm trying to go to that.
Oh yeah, it films in Staten Island. It films in this brewery called Flagship Brewery, and they film there. It's a great brewery too, if you ever want to check it out. But nice. We basically film the whole show and then like do the edit it. I'm so sorry. I don't know why. It's not
so good, man.
I think I think I'm bored of hearing myself talk. no, but we film the whole show, we edit it, and then the guys like watch the episode and then do the after party. So it's hard to say exactly when the next tapings will be. It'll be basically once we're done with season 7, we would then start to film after party episodes. But I'll try to let you know, because they definitely need an audience.
Yeah, man. If you remember, I definitely would make the. I got a lot of friends out there. I'll tell my cousin to come. I'll definitely like to make the trek, man. It seems like a good time. And they serve alcohol while you're watching it.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, so there you go.
Flagship Brewery makes really good beer.
Yeah, I saw actually somebody else I know was telling me about that. It had nothing to even do with the Jokers. We did I had to do picket duty for my union out there one time, but we weren't anywhere near there.
Oh, okay.
So that was maybe like a year and a half ago or so. But
yeah, it's cool. It's definitely like a cool show, and we're glad that we got to do it like in a little after bonus special kind of thing. Because the guys had also done like a show called Joker's Wild, which was more of a sketch format, which was funny. But I think the audience wanted them to sort of just kind of keep Jokers like as it was. But this is nice. This is like, you know, they get to kind of, you get to see them. It feels like a podcast hosted by Joey Fatone, and I like that.
Yeah, it's organic. It's cool. Those shows, they do well. I mean, all the big TV shows, you know, Walking Dead, all that stuff, the Breaking Bad, they all have that
that
after show. So it was a good idea. I like it a lot. Actually, it's great when my favorite was when Murr took the kid to the play.
Yeah.
The Lion King, was it?
I think Aladdin.
Oh, Aladdin. that was awesome.
So funny.
Yeah. Have you been on Gethard's show?
I have not been a guest there, but I was a guest like when it was a public access show years ago. And I know that whole crew, that whole, like all the writers are like close friends of mine. And I've known Gethard for years. He was my teacher at UCB at one point. Yeah, love that show. It's a really good show. Did you watch the episode with Method Man?
I did not get to. I missed that episode, I should. I have to see it. I was like, oh, okay. I just like it because you know, me and the human fish have like the same chest.
That's my buddy Dave. He's Dave Bloveband is the guy's name, and I've known him for years now. We were on a team for 3 years together at UCB, and I love that guy. He's the best.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely let them know that they got fans over
that's
here.
Great. That's great. That's nice. Good show.
For sure.
Good
that's
show.
Great. That's great.
So you're hosting something tonight, right?
Yeah, I'm hosting there's a game show app called HQ Trivia, and it's like blowing up now. It's got like, you know, 400,000 people play, and you could win like a couple thousand dollars. And the host is usually this guy named Scott Rogowski, who's really nice, and but sometimes he can't make it, and so I fill in once in a while. And so they got me filling in tonight. I'm pretty pumped.
Nice. So tonight people could have the full Jost Brothers thing going on. They could be on their phone playing and watching Saturday Night Live and just making your mom real happy.
There was a time, I think, recently where I think Colin was doing like these Thursday night SNL specials in the summer. And I feel like we had a Joker's happening, like a Practical Jokers, like, you know, we're on a Thursday nights at 10, and so they were like both on at the same time. It was really insane. And I don't know, I didn't look at whose ratings were better. I should have checked that out. I'm sure it was theirs though.
I don't know about that. Not this. I'm telling you right now, man. And Practical Jokers, not like, it's so weird. I either watch sports or Discovery ID Channel because I like to see, you know, people with worse lives than me, and Impractical Jokers. That's it. The rest of anything else on TV is just trash. And Gether too. I like that show too.
Yeah.
But I don't think I get rid of that Carbonaro guy. I'm not.
I mean,
no, don't say anything. Don't get in trouble.
Yeah. I already have beef with Drake and Childish Gambino. I can't add Carbonaro. Carbonaro
guy end up in a tank like Houdini, all chained up.
I know. I don't fuck with magicians.
Oh man. So what's next for you? Any idea like how long you guys are
going to do the show? There's other things I would like to do. Like, you know, I think I really like, you know, a friend of mine, you know, the guy Cypha Sounds, he's like a DJ.
Oh yeah.
Hot 97. So he's a friend of mine now for a couple of years. We do comedy together and, he's going to have his own show on True soon. And he said that I'm too comfortable at Jokers. He was like, you need to leave just so that you feel that feeling of, that you need to work hard again.
Right.
Not that I don't for Jokers, but like, you know, I need to stay hungry. And he said I was too comfortable. So I thought that was interesting. But I'm always trying to do other shows or work in other places. Just when, like, you know, in the off time or if I have any like extra time, I try to hustle. But it's nice. You know, I just like working at Jokers so much that, yeah, it's true though. It's a little comfortable at this point. But it's also like it's really got its stride. And I want to part of me wants to see it to the end.
Right.
I don't know when that would be, but hopefully we get more seasons.
So Cypha Sounds is getting his own True TV show. That's awesome. Do you know ever deal with Peter Rosenberg too?
I don't think I've met him yet. Maybe one time. I may have met him at a party or something. But I love that guy. The two of them are great.
Yeah.
But
that guy's a great podcast. He does 50 podcasts a month. Does the one with Mike Tyson. You ever listen to that one?
Right. No.
Bite the Mic. That's
he does a wrestling one too, I think.
Or he does a wrestling one too.
Yeah.
But he does one. It's Mike Tyson's podcast, but I guess he's his co-host, and it's, man, that's some interesting stuff. Like,
that's great.
Tyson starts telling some stories.
Oh, I can imagine.
That's somebody you don't want to say anything bad about.
Yeah, that's true. I have to start getting ready for this hosting thing tonight. I hate to skedaddle, but
I was just about to wrap it up anyway. I mean, that's pretty much.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This has been a blast.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man, I really appreciate you coming on, and you know,
of course.
Nice of you to respond and everything. Just some strange dude hitting you up on Twitter, but I'm always happy. I really
always happy to talk to strange dudes.
Hey, you never know, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck with everything, man. And I'll be
stay in touch.
Listening for that Cypha Sounds show, definitely.
Yeah. I'd love to come on again, man. We'll do a recap soon.
All right. Excellent, man. Right. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, bro.
All right, man. Good luck. Thank you for checking out another episode of Another Mediocre Podcast. If you like what you hear, you can subscribe on iTunes or check us out on Spreaker.com. You can also check out AccordingToLouBlog.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.